God's grace, His mercy, and His peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I started out with a question for you, and I asked, who are you? In other words, I said, if you looked into a mirror, what would you say about yourself? Who are you? We talked about our identity in Christ. I'd like to continue that talk today, for it stands in Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Has that affected you at all in the last couple of weeks? You know, a lot of times we can still look in the mirror and say, I see in there someone who's down, someone who's a failure, someone who's a nobody. But against all that, God says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And so these negative sorts of things we see in the mirror, yes, we do all have those sometimes, but those are not fitting for you because you really are a new creature. And what God has declared you to be, that you must really be, because His Word never returns to Him void, does it? And if His Word is always accomplishes what He purposes, then you are a new creature. And I'd like to talk with you about who you are today in Christ, who God has made you to be, some of the aspects of that. There are a lot of them. But today I'd like to talk with you about what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's read there. He says, it stands in Scripture, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. He who believes in Him will not be put to shame. To you, therefore, who believe, He's precious. But for those who do not believe, the very stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner, a stone that will make men stumble, a rock that will make them fall. For they stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you... here's your identity. This is what God declares of you. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of Him who calls you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So let's talk then today about your identity. Who are you in Christ? Who is this man, this woman looking back at you from the mirror? Well, royal priests, that's what we're going to talk about today. The royal priesthood of all believers. Now, let's start out then, the first word there, royal. Does that sound like something exciting to you? Of course, right? And how did you become royal kings before God? Because the King of Kings, Jesus Christ Himself, has died for you. And you believe in Him, have been baptized into Him. Therefore, you are united to Him, and if you're not united to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then you also are royal. Do you think about that when you look in the mirror? Well, so you are, for God's Word doesn't return to Him void, and we ought to think about ourselves in these ways. But then it also says here, royal priests. You're a royal priesthood. Now, if I were to say you're royal, you're like, yeah, I'm royal. That's great. I'm kingly. And you will reign with Christ. But then I say priests, you're like, ugh. Right? Because it's like priest. I mean, what are the things that conjure up in your mind, the connotations or images with priests? I'll wager it's not what the Bible says about priests. And I think the first thing we got to do is just clean house and get rid of a lot of the false notions we have about what a priest is. Hollywood, I can't stand it, okay? Every time you see a pastor, a priest in a sense, in Hollywood in a movie, who are they? What do they look like? Not that these are all bad things, but there's a balding, round-faced man with thick glasses who's totally out of touch with reality, who's dreamy and naive. He never gets a joke at the wedding, and everybody basically considers him a wimp. Isn't that true? That's the way Hollywood portrays priests. And I see this all the time. How about LCMS, our denomination? Well, I was going to become a pastor, and I was at the seminary, and they're talking about what a pastor does, who's a priest in a public way, in a sense. There was this image of a stodgy academic endorsement. And I was like, ugh. That is so not me. And I was like, can I even be a pastor? I hate that image. It's not me. Well, that's not what the Bible has for us either. Well, how about some past notions? Maybe some of you have been abused by a priest. Or you've at least seen the pedophilia that's on the news. And you might think a priest is a false prophet, a wolf in sheep's clothing, someone not to be trusted, walking around in black clothes and a white collar. Well, the first thing we got to do is clean shop and throw all these ideas in the trash bin of your mind and forget them. Because you need now to go to what God says to you about being a royal priest before him. And what does it mean? In truth, it means to be a priest means you have been lifted up by God through the cross to the highest position imaginable before God's throne. Let me say that again to you. To be a priest means you have been lifted up by God through the cross of Christ to the highest position imaginable in heaven and earth before God's throne, even closer than angels. And it's the most honorable position God has bestowed upon you and declared you to be. So what's it mean to be a royal priest? Well, number one, it means you are chosen. Isn't that what Peter said? You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Isn't that beautiful to say that you're chosen? Hebrews 5 says, every high priest chosen from among men is appointed, that is, appointed by God, to act on behalf of men in relation to God. And no one takes the honor upon himself, but he's called by God, just as Aaron was. You realize that in order for you to be a Christian, since we're all priests, you're chosen. You're actually selected, handpicked out of the mass of humanity. God has said, I am calling you to be mine. I am calling you to set you in the highest position, right up there next to me on my throne, even closer than the angels and the cherubim. And how do we know this? Well, angels sinned and Christ didn't die for them. He didn't become an angel. Christ became a man and died for us. And we are sitting on the throne. It's not to angels that God subjects the world to come. It's to us. We're royal priests. You've been chosen by God. And therefore, Jesus said this in John 15, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. Chosen by God. But then, being chosen, he's chosen us to be his own precious possession. A bride, her most precious possession, what is it? Go ahead and give me a couple thoughts. Let's have a little interaction here. Huh? Husband? Great. That's a good one. That was said by a man, though. Husband, hopefully. Children, maybe. Wedding ring, precious. I mean, you don't ever want to lose that. You keep it with you always, right? Well, we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people of God's own possession. That's the fulfillment, by the way. Did you know that? From Exodus chapter 19, God says, you shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. If you're a royal priest of God, that means God has called you out of the world to be his own people. God certainly created everybody, but not everybody is God's people. In the Old Testament, God chose Abraham and his descendants, pointing to the fact that he was choosing you in Christ. You didn't choose me, but I chose you to be my own special possession. What's the apple of an eye, by the way? Do you know what that is? What is the apple of your eye? Prized possession. It's the dot in the center of your eye. Would you like for me to come and poke you in the apple of your eye? No? Because it's so precious to you? Well, what does God say about you in Deuteronomy 32 of Israel? He says, he found him in a desert land, in the howling waste of the wilderness. He encircled him. He cared for him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them up on its feathers. The Lord alone guided him. No foreign god was with him. He made him ride on the high places of the land. This is your God. And you are called to be a holy priest. It means you are the apple of his eye. You are his people. You have been drawn under the shelter of his wings. That means you are in a way that the rest of the world is not. You've been exalted to be at the highest place. And we're going to see that today happen, too, with three children. Two more are going to be baptized in a few weeks. Three of them are going to be baptized today, where God makes them his own people, the apple of his eye, priests before him. And being a priest, it also means then that you've been brought near to God. You've gained access to the throne. Remember the Old Testament? You got the temple. Let's just pretend this church is the temple, okay? If this church were the temple, the outer place is for the unbelievers. Then the people could be in the narthex, if you will. The holy place in here, that was for the priests. And into this, the Holy of Holies, the place where the Ark of the Covenant was, only the high priest came. In other words, if you're a priest, you get access into the holy place where God is. Not everybody has this blessing. Do you know that King Uzziah in the Old Testament tried to get that for himself? In 2 Chronicles 26, it says, King Uzziah, when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Sound like a good idea? What do I always say when someone enters a holy place without the commission of God? Right. He's in trouble, right? Azariah, the priest went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord who were men of valor, and they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It's not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, for the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you've done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from the Lord your God." Uzziah, though, was angry, proud. He had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and when he became angry at the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead in the presence of the priests in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense, and they rushed him out quickly, and he hurried himself to go out because the Lord had struck him, and he remained a leper to the day of his death. Not everybody can come into the church, if you will, into God's heavenly sanctuary. But you can, because you've believed in Christ. God has made you a royal priest. And he says, you have access to me. As Paul says in Ephesians 3, in him, in Christ, we have boldness and confidence of access through our faith in him. Access to God. This is what it means to be a royal priest. But how did this happen? How did you get to have all this greatness? Well, it says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and following, it says, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he," that is Jesus himself, "likewise partook of the same nature, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death," that is the devil, "and deliver all those who through a fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. For surely it's not with angels that God is concerned, but with the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, Christ had to be made like his brethren in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful," what's it say? "High priest in the service of God to make expiation for the sins of the people." Christ is the great high priest. You know, in the Old Testament sanctuary, if this were the tent, unbelievers outside, believers got to go into the outer court, only the priest could enter into where you are, the holy place. But to come into the Holy of Holies, it had to be the great high priest, only once a year. And what did he go in there with? You tell me. He went in there with blood. The blood of atonement. To make atonement for the forgiveness of sins of the people. And Jesus, our great high priest, who is the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, as it said in Psalm 110, has done this thing for you. He has come and he has gone into, as it says in Hebrews chapter 9, Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, Christ entered once for all into the holy place. Where's that? Heaven. Into the holy place of God's throne room in heaven, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. In other words, to be a priest of God means you can gain access into God. Why? Because Christ has gained the access for you. Let's take a look here. Between the holy place and the Holy of Holies in the temple where God was, what was there? A curtain or a veil. And then it says in the Gospels that when Christ yielded up his spirit, when he died, what happened in the temple? From top to bottom, the curtain that separated God from man, it was by a stronger angel than I, torn in two and opened. Do you realize Christ has opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers? The veil has been torn, and now as high priests before God, we have this word from Hebrews chapter 10. Brothers, we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Outside the temple, in order to get into the temple, before you even enter the holy place, you had to go past the laver in those old days. And there was a basin with water. And you had to wash. You wash here, and then, as a priest, you are able to go into the holy place without dying. And the high priest into the Holy of Holies. You are royal priests of God in Christ. You have access to God the Father through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, all by his grace. And what then does God ask of you as a priest? It means you've been appointed to his service for the privilege of offering service to God and to men. What's a priest do? Usually in the Old Testament, Hebrews 8, every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. You are in the gift ministry, my friends. What are the gifts that you give? You give the gifts of man to God, namely prayer, praise, thanksgiving, shouts of joy, petitions, honor, and you give the gifts of God to men, namely the gospel of Jesus Christ, tenderness and good. For Peter says, like living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, if we go out there and start cutting off the heads of chickens, we're going to be probably locked up. That's not what we're supposed to do, or offer calves or goats or any of that stuff. Sacrifices. Philippians 4, Paul says, I've received full payment and more. You sent me money. I'm well supplied. I received the gifts you sent from Epaphroditus, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice, acceptable and pleasing to God. So you offer your, your money, your word. Also, Hebrews 13, let's continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. You confess Jesus, that's your sacrifice you're offering to the Lord. Hebrews 13 also, don't neglect to do good, to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. How about Romans 12? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Romans 15, Paul says, he is a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God. You present the gospel to men. So you're in the gift ministry. You give gifts to God of all that you are. You give gifts to man of all that God is to them, namely the gospel of Jesus Christ and all goodness. And so in short then, we're in the gift business. And you have the best job in heaven and earth. And I have one final illustration here from a movie I've quoted, I think, before. First Night with Sean Connery. He's playing King Arthur. And I, of course, I like the sword fights, fine, and all that stuff, but that's not why I like the movie at all. The reason I like the movie is because King Arthur is a righteous man. He loves righteousness. And because you have this high position as royal priest, should you be proud of it? I mean, have pride? Well, King Arthur says at the end, there is no pride left in me. And then the evil prince, Maligan, who's trying to take over the kingdom, says, I want you to come here and bow before me, Arthur. The strong rules the weak. Is this not how your God made the world? And Arthur, the great royal priest, if you will, responds, God makes us strong, but only for a while, so that we can help one another. And then he raises his sword to fight and dies for the glory of his God and for his kingdom. This, my friends, is what a royal priest is. The image of a man with all his heart, with all his strength, with all his mind, with all that I am, is for you, Lord God, to offer gifts to men and to offer man's gifts to God and to help his fellow man wherever he can and whenever he can. So I ask you in conclusion, looking in the mirror again, downhearted, failure, I'm fat, I'm a louse. Are those words fitting for a royal priest of God before him? To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.